Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 281, all the stanzas, mindful of our human frailty. Is the God in whom we trust, he whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. 1-4 of Psalter 281.
Congregation, we wish to read from God's holy word, that which can be found in the first epistle of John, thereof the fifth chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
(Clears throat) Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, Thou who dwellest in Thy high and Thy holy place, and who sittest upon Thy majestic throne of glory, there is not one of us who is able to stand before Thee in that great judgment, for Thou lookest not on the outward appearance, but Thou dost search and Thou dost try our hearts. And we may have before one another an outward life that is without blame. But then Thou knowest the heart that does spew forth its mire and its dirt. O Lord, Thou knowest who and what each and every one of us are. And Thou sayest in Thy word, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? And nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. And we are standing also amongst them by nature, that we cannot bring ourselves to blush because of our sin. We do not see the sinfulness of our sin, the evil of our sin. We do not mourn our sin. We do not turn from our sin. We do not desire to be delivered from our sin. And Thou knowest then that there is in us no place, no room for him who is ready to forgive our sins. O Lord, that Thou may instruct each and every one of us, cause us to know who and what we are by the power of Thy most irresistible Spirit. Wilt Thou open unto us our sin and our guilt before Thee, and grant us a heart to mourn, therefore, while it is still called today, because we have sung out of Thy word that man is like the tender flower, and his days are like the grass. And so it is experienced also among us, even amongst the very youth, the young people. When we may hear that one is taken away in the flower of her age, so that in a moment all the looking forward for this life and all the expectations in this life are cut off in one moment. And that then it is necessary to stand before our judge. Oh, then there are others we understand that have also received such serious callings in the week that has gone by. Lord, that Thou may bless and that Thou may sanctify these ways. Because of ourselves, we will go on again with just a passing thought of all that is taking place around us, and then it shall one day testify against us. But could it please Thee, O Lord, to stop us in our mad career as we are traveling unto our long home with rapid strides, and when we know not what one day may bring forth, and we are hanging, as it were, as by a thread over that great eternity. Oh, we beseech Thee that Thou may open our eyes this day, that Thou may touch our ears, that they may hear, and that our hearts may be opened, That we may be given a heart that may smite upon our own breast. That we may cry out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That we may be shown the evil of our ways, not only in this world. All that is vanity and empty is being sought by us, but also what is living within our hearts. For there is not a desire, there is not a thought that goes out after the living and the true God. And we have turned our backs unto our Maker and our Creator, saying that we will not have Thee to reign over us, and we desire not the knowledge of Thy ways. And then it is not only of those who know nothing of Thee, but we can read in Thy Word also of Thy own people, that Thou sayest, my people are bent to backsliding from me. And Thou hast drawn them with the cords of a man and with the bands of love. And Thou hast been unto them as they that take off the yoke upon the jaws. Then they are not strangers of who that Thou art for a wretched and a poor and a miserable sinner. But their ways, they are yet bent on backsliding. O Lord, who is able to keep himself? Thou who art the Alpha, dost not Thou say that Thou art also the Omega? And so is the hope of Thy children here below, especially when they may experience what they are and what they remain, so that there is no ability and that there is no strength in themselves to uphold themselves in that blessed way, but they are departing day after day therefrom. Oh, then they need to be brought back by Thee. Oh, wilt Thou grant them also then to say, when Thou shalt revive us, Thy name we will praise, and nevermore turning to depart from Thy ways. Oh, Lord, that desire may live and burn in their hearts continually, and that there may be more and more a longing to depart from this Meshech of this world, wherein this body of sin and death does weigh them down, because they cannot deliver themselves from it. But it will be sown in corruption, and it will be raised in incorruption. It will be sown a natural body, and it will be raised a spiritual body. O Lord, that there may be in the life of Thy children more strength in that warfare. Wilt Thou teach their fingers to fight and their hands to war? And that it may also be evident in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned. Did Thy servant David not say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes? Lord, then wilt Thou Thyself give the strength, therefore, to resist the devil, that he may flee from us, and that Thou may encourage Thy own children, who may have heard their name in this morning hour in that list of the genealogies, who may have heard their name as a Judah and as a Tamar, as a David and as a Bathsheba, as a Rahab and as a Manasseh, and for whom it may yet be a wonder that those names, they are written there in that genealogy. O Lord, Thy grace that is so free, Oh, that thou may grant the eyes to see it, the eyes of the afflicted and the eyes of the poor that are still here upon this world and that have to continue yet a little while in the trial and in the tribulation. And that thou may give more than may enter into that good fight. Lord, then it may not seem in unto the young people of the congregation to be a life that is to be desired. And yet it is that which would not be exchanged for all the gold and the silver that is in this world. Wilt thou make them also to see what their poverty is? The poverty of all that is here below, and the riches that are above. Oh, that there may be a little taste of thy grace in thy only begotten and thy dearly beloved Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, and to whom thou givest a sight unto thy afflicted and thy poor people. And then they are all so well pleased in him. Oh, do give more of those moments, those little moments of true and saving faith. And give them also to make their calling and election sure, that they may never fall. Lord, that thou may instruct each and every one of us in these ways. Wilt thou give what is necessary also for all that we need in this life? Thou knowest all that is suffered here below as the consequences of our sin. Oh, then thou knowest the rebelliousness of our hearts also. But, Lord, thou knowest how well deserved that it is. Oh, if thou dost not prevent it, then we lift up our fist against thee. But wilt thou grant us in all things to be reconciled unto thy will, and that thou may teach us to bear our burdens with patience before thee, and that thou may thou may give us instruction more and more of that fountain of iniquity that lies within, and that thy grace and thy salvation, which is wide as the ocean, and that it may become more and more necessary and more precious, supply for all the needy. Those that carry burdens and that carry crosses that are unknown unto us and unto others. Lord, wilt thou supply for all the youth and the children? Oh, do give them a place also in the days of their youth and before thee in their secret chamber, that they may there remember their Creator in the days of their youth. While the evil days come not, when they shall say, I have no delight in them. Lord, that thou may look upon our school, our teachers, and all that do labor therein, that thy Holy Spirit may dwell in that place, that thou may give what is necessary to stand before our children, that thou may give faithfulness, diligence, and a life of example. Also unto fathers and mothers, teach us how to bring up our children in the tender and true fear of thy name. Open our mouths more to speak of thee as thou dost command us to do, and that thou may look upon all those that bring thy word and all those that rule and reign over us also in this land. Wilt thou look upon our brother elder that cannot be with us in this day? May thou supply for all his needs. And those that travel, bring back safely once again in this week to come. And Lord, wilt thou look upon us also in this afternoon hour? Wilt thou be with us on the right and on the left hand? Give us a little strength to bring thy word, and could it please thee to give thy word free course, that there may be a cause for all things, that it may be in thy eternal plan, and that thou wouldst do as it doth please thee. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 202, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. In doubt and temptation I rest, Lord, in Thee. My hand is in Thy hand. Thou carest for me. And what follows, we announce that at our last male members meeting, Mr. John Moons was re-elected to the office of elder. He has accepted this office. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, December the 15th. And the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment, Psalter 202, all the stanzas. Beloved congregation, what fearful words were spoken by Pharaoh, a king of Egypt, in his ignorance and in his rebellion. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh was no atheist. Pharaoh had his own gods. But Pharaoh did not know, as he said, the Lord. He did not know Jehovah. He did not know the true, the living God. Nature taught him the existence of God, but nature did not teach him who that this true God was. But he experienced who he was. He was warned by this God through the nature which is under control of this God 10 times over again, but he refused to hearken. And then he learned when he, in that one day, did suddenly come to stand before the judgment seat of Jehovah. On the other hand, congregation, we read that the Lord Jesus, he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is created in his image, in order that they may have communion with God. That is that blessed communion, that height from which you and I have fallen in our deep fall in Adam. Is there ever in your heart a sorrow for this? Is there ever in your heart a desire that you may return again into that blessed communion? Because there is yet a way. We heard last week that man is by nature without excuse concerning the existence of God. That this is very plain to man in nature, and that this is plain within, and that this is plain without us. And yet we can read in God's word that there is going to be a great difference in the judgment, because Paul says they that have sinned without law, they shall also perish without law. And those that have sinned in the law, they shall be judged by the law. Thus you and I, we have that holy word of God, that we may know who, not only that he is, but that we may know something of who that he is. And that is a great privilege, but it is also such a great responsibility. Thus, there is that which ought to draw us, but there is also that which ought to drive us. We wish, with the Lord's help, to continue speaking about Lord's Day 8 in this afternoon, questions 24 and 25. Lord's Day 8, question 24, how are these articles divided? Answer into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. the second of God, the Son, and our redemption, the third of God, the Holy Ghost, and our sanctification. Question 25, since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer, because God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one, only, true, and eternal God. So far, our Lord's Day. And our theme that is faith in a triune God. We considered last week faith in his existence, and in this afternoon, I wish with the Lord's help to say something about faith in his triune personhood. Faith in his triune personhood. Thus, there are those that say we should not use that word triune, because never, boys and girls, never do we read that word triune in the Bible. And so there are people, they say, we should not also use that word triune to speak about God, because God's word does not use that word triune, and that is true. We do not find it in the Bible. But certainly we do find the substance of this word in the Bible. And thus, in that word that is very useful for us, especially against those who would like to teach error, to bring error, especially those who do not agree with the substance of this word. That word triune that is composed of two parts, that is the word tri and unity. Thus it speaks of three in one. And therefore our fathers, they speak about three persons in one divine essence. Last time we heard something of how that the Bible speaks about the existence of God. And not only the Bible, but also nature itself teaches us this existence. But the Bible that also speaks about the fact that there is only one God. Paul, he says, we know that an idol is nothing, and that there is none other God but one. That is, of course, over against those that wish to speak about many gods, polytheism. And such a thing has been since the beginning of the fall, since man has lost the image of God and the knowledge of God. Then when men could not see from nature who that the true God is, then he has imagined many times that there is more than one God. And so it was with the Romans, and so that was with the Greeks, and so that was also with the barbaric nations. How may we know that there is but one God? We may know this congregation not by looking about us in the nature. We may know this out of the holy word of God. We may know this by the word of the Lord himself, who says, I am the Lord and there is none else. What a privilege, boys and girls, is it not, that we may have the word of God? Thus, when the apostles may go out to speak unto the heathen, and then they may see there an altar that is to the unknown God, well, that was just in case that they have missed a God. That they say, well, we have an altar to this God, we know that one, and we have another God. That was all in their imagination. But they thought maybe in their superstition that they have missed a God. And so they have made an altar also unto him. And then the apostle, he says, now it is this God. It is this God that you do not know. It is this God of whom you have never heard, because you do not yet have that word of God. It is this God who has made the heavens and that has made the earth. It is this God that I declare unto you. And so we can read in God's word that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Moses, he also declares, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And when David prays unto the Lord, then we can hear that David addresses him and that he says, thou art Lord alone. This declaration of the word of God that is also confirmed by the light of our reason. The Lord has given that to us over the beasts. And then we may have a mind and intellect, and we may acknowledge the truth of that word, that there can only be one supreme being, because if there were more than one supreme being, then there is necessarily a contradiction. Because you can have two that are mighty, but you cannot have two that are almighty. And you can have one that fills all things, but if one fills all things, then you cannot have a second that is filling all things. Thus, that truth of God's word that is being confirmed by that reason that he has given to each and every one of us. But in that word that is also declared that there is not only one God, but in that God that is consisting, as we read in our catechism here, of three persons. And that is, congregation, for us a mystery. That is not something that is against our understanding, that we are called to believe something that we say that is irrational, because the Lord, he does not call us to believe what is irrational, but it is something which is beyond, it is above our understanding, and it is something and that we are also incapable of perceiving in this world. So that there is not an example, there is not an illustration in this whole world and that is able to enlighten us concerning that blessed Trinity. Why do we believe it? Well, our fathers, they say here, since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Because God hath so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true God. That is why we believe it. We believe it simply because it is written in the word of God. And children, you will know by now, and that faith that has objects. And you have been taught that one of the objects of true faith that is the Word of God. So if the Lord converts you, boys and girls, when you are young, then you will be sure to begin to believe that that holy Word of God is the truth. And then there will be many things in your mind you say, I cannot understand them, they are too high for me. And yet, in your heart, then you will believe that it is the truth. Why? Because that Spirit of the Lord that makes that Word of God to be an object of faith. That divine Trinity, that is one of the most important doctrines in the Holy Word of God. It is impossible for us to be saved outside of faith in that blessed divine Trinity. And yet it is a doctrine that has been contested for many, many ages. The Jewish nation does not believe, does not acknowledge the Trinity. The Mohammedans, the Jehovah Witnesses, the Unitarians, all of them, they do not acknowledge that God is existing in three persons. Thus, the Trinity, what does that mean? Well, that means that there are three distinct persons that are coexisting in one divine essence, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then it is not merely that they are three different names for God, just as we have different names, children, and we have a first name, maybe you have a second, a middle name, and you have a last name. And there are people, they say, well, they are just three different names for God. No, they are not just three different names. Indeed, there are many names for God in the Word of God. But these are not just three different names. How do we know that? Well, the Lord Jesus, He has clearly displayed that, especially when He sent out His disciples to preach and to baptize. He said distinctly to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thus, each of them, they belong to the essence of God. Each of them are God Himself. And if each of them are God Himself, that means that the essential attributes, the attributes, the characteristics that belong to the essence of God, to the being of God, the essential attributes, they are attributes that belong to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. So let us say, for example, the infinity of God, the eternity of God that belongs to the Father. The Father is eternal, the Son is eternal, and the Holy Ghost is eternal. Let us say the omnipotence of God that belongs to the Father, that belongs to the Son, that belongs to the Holy Ghost, because omnipotence is one of the essential attributes that belongs to God, and the omnipresence of God. Not only the essential attributes, but the works. For example, the creation, we can read how that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are involved in the creation, and also all three of them involved in the redemption of mankind and in the sanctification, in the application. Thus, each of them are God Himself, and each one of them, to each one of them, belong the honors and the worship and the praise and the adoration of God. And yet, each of them, they do not have those essential attributes only, but each of them have what we call personal attributes that do distinguish them, not separate them, but that do distinguish them one from the other, the attributes of their person. If we think, for example, of what we call the manner of their subsistence, what does that mean? Well, that is just that we read of the Father that the Father exists. He exists in and of Himself. He has never, he says, I am that I am. But what do we read of the Son? We read that the Son, He is begotten of the Father. And sometimes that He proceeds. But we read then especially of the Spirit that He is proceeding from the Father and from the Son. All the works of God, they are proceeding from that one single Godhead. And yet we can read that there is an order that is preserved among the three persons of the Trinity. Thus, the Father, He wills in and of Himself. But the Father, when He works, then He is working through the Son, and He is working through the Holy Spirit. You never read that the Son sends the Father. You never read that the Spirit sends the Son, or that the Spirit sends the Father. But you read that the Father, He sends the Son, and that the Holy Spirit, He is sent by the Son, and He is sent by the Father. Christ says, I proceed and come forth, He says, from God. And He says of that Holy Spirit, it is that Holy Spirit that I will send unto you, He says, from the Father. And whom that the Father will send in my name. Thus, we cannot comprehend how all those things are taking place. We cannot comprehend what begetting is. We cannot comprehend what proceeding is. But we can read in God's Word these words. We can read of the distinction that the Spirit of the Lord, by His inspiration, He is making between them. So that we can see that there is a distinction between these three persons in that Holy Trinity, in the manner of their subsistence and in their manner of working. Why is that so important that we make no error concerning the Trinity of God? That is so important because it has to do with who God is. How would that be for us when persons would recognize us different than we are? Well, maybe we want them to recognize us better than we are. Right, children? We will maybe boast a little bit of who that we are so that persons think of us actually greater than we are. Be careful. Because the Bible says pride comes before a fall. But we certainly don't want anyone to think of us less than we are. How is that with God Himself? It is impossible for a man to consider, to conceive of God greater than He is. Every mistake that a man makes concerning the existence of God and who He is, that is an error which is detracting from the perfection that is in God. And thus we may make no error, especially as the Lord is revealing Himself and who He is unto us in His Word. Thus, if the Father only is God, and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they are not God, but we are honoring them as God, then we are guilty of honoring those as God who are not really God. if the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are actually just three different names for God, then we are actually guilty of worshiping three gods. If these three persons, they are distinct, and we refuse to give them their distinct honors, well, then we do not worship Him as He desires to be worshipped. Thus, congregation, do we believe in the triune God? I think there are none that would say, I do not believe in that triune God. But is now that belief, is that something that is only in our mind? Is that only what we have been taught from our youth and what we can read in that word? Or is that faith something that is living also in our heart? We wish to sing before we consider this. 382. 1-4, Lord, Thou hast searched me and dost know where'er I rest, where'er I go. Thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in Thy hand. 1-4 of Psalter 382. Congregation, last week we have asked you a question. That is not whether that we are an atheist, because we think not that there are here those that are atheists. But we have asked whether that we perhaps live as an atheist, that we go from morning till evening, day after day and week after week. Even when we go, boys and girls, to the Christian school, and we come week after week to the house of the Lord, and we read the Bible every day. We fold our hands and we close our eyes in the morning, in the evening. Are there any for whom this question has gone with you in this week? That you have been accused, that is, by the Lord Himself, of going over this world without God in the world? Has that stayed with you, mothers, in your kitchen in this week? Fathers in your place of work, children when you were sitting by your desk in school this week, was there ever a thought of this again, that I live just like one who does not even believe that there is a God in heaven? We know of the existence of God. A congregation, what is now the profit of this in our life? Were we ever convicted in our life of sin against this God? And was there never in our heart a desire, a longing, and that we may return again into the communion of God, our Maker? Our fathers, they speak about the triune personhood of God. But they are not beginning with this. No, they do not mention the Trinity until Lord's Day 8. And why? Well, the Lord, He does not begin there either. Our fathers, they do not speak about the Trinity until after Lord's Day 7. Why, what is Lord's Day 7? Lord's Day 7 is speaking about, really, it is about Christmas. Lord's Day 7 is speaking about the revelation of the Son of God. It is speaking about the opening of that way in the mediatorial work of God. And there is no distinguishing of the persons of the Trinity before that a person receives something of this revelation of the Son. When the Lord converts a person, then that person is not instructed immediately in the persons of the Trinity. No, but he is troubled by the existence of God. Go back to Lord's Day 3. Because in Lord's Day 3, there our fathers are speaking about God as our Creator. And so the Lord is beginning. Did the Lord ever show to you that He is your Creator? And if the Lord is our Creator, then the Lord is necessarily also our Judge. Because we are created for a purpose and we have to give an answer to our Creator, which makes Him also our Judge. And thus we ask you in the first place, did you ever tremble at the thought of your Creator? Because the psalmist, he says, the thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. And we do not ask you if you believe that God is your Judge, because you will all say yes, certainly. But we ask you for the fruits of the true faith that God is your Judge. And that is, did you ever tremble at the thought of Him and at the thought of meeting Him? And not only so, but did you ever miss Him? To think that He has created me and that He has made me for a purpose, that I dwelt in His communion. Well, when the Spirit of the Lord is renewing our heart, then there comes a missing. Then we desire to be reunited with our Maker. Then we are given to understand that we are more than the animals, that we have a soul, that we were created to commune with God Himself. Thus do we know even of those very first beginnings of that working of that Spirit of the Lord. And the church, they may know well in their mind that there is eternity, but they do not experience anything of that Trinity until that Son of God is revealed to their soul. It is in the opening of that free and sovereign grace to a sinner who sees himself as one that is condemned, that mediatorial work of the Son is distinguished in their perception from that judging work of the Father. This, of course, they could not see before that Son of God was revealed to their soul. But how else can that angry judge become to a sinner a reconciled father? But that is the way that we read of that Father in the next Lord's days already. Not as an angry judge, but it is now through Christ. That is through that mediator. Thus, it is in this revelation of the Son that the soul begins to distinguish between the persons of the Godhead, because never before was that Son of God so precious in their eyes. You know, then many times that people come into the house of God in that beginning of the way, and do you know what they are glad with? They are glad when the Lord may give them once or twice to hear their name. To hear their name. When it is preached from the housetops, what is taking place in the inner chamber, then that is good to them. But when the Lord, He is revealing to them something of His only begotten Son, then they come to that house of the Lord, and then they say, O Lord, let me hear Thy name. Let me hear Thy name only. Oh, there is reason that Solomon, he says, he is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Because it is in that day that the soul receives a love for that second person in that blessed divine Trinity who has taken upon himself our flesh. You understand? Then there is a distinction in the persons of the Trinity that people, they have never experienced before. Yes, in their mind they have known it since they were very, very young. But they have never experienced anything of it. They have never known anything of it in their own heart. Is that then that a person experiences a disunity in the Trinity? As if he experiences an angry judge as God the Father, but he experiences a merciful Son? Oh, that is not the way it is. No, but our fathers show in our catechism that there are also distinctions between the works of those three persons in the Trinity. Thus, they are speaking about the work of the Father in creation and the work of the Son in redemption and the work of the Holy Spirit in the application or in sanctification or in the beginning of that salvation. You say the Son and the Holy Ghost, they are also involved in the creation. That is right. And yet, the creation belongs in a special way to the work of the Father. And the Father and the Holy Ghost, are they not involved in the redemption of the elect? Certainly. But we know that redemption, that is in a very special way the work of the Son, and so also the Holy Spirit has His special work in the way of the application. But congregation, this becomes known in the experience. And that is when a person, he begins to experience and to come truly to know that there is a triune God. And not only so, but that church may experience more and more, the longer that they live, the unity that is within that Trinity. What did Philip say to the Lord Jesus? He says, "Show us the Father." But what did Christ say to him? He says, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but my Father who dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Thus, it is through the Son and through the revelation of that Son by the Spirit that the Lord is opening and showing unto His people who the Father is, that they may see Him in the putting away of His wrath. Is there not a church that desires to see this? A church that is not a stranger of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been given to see something of Him, and yet do not know that they are reconciled to God as their Father? We can read Bunyan writes of Christian that he comes to that wicked gate. There he rejoiced. There Christ is revealed in that 10th hour to their soul in that day of Christmas. But congregation, he also trembled. And that burden of sin that was upon his back, then he was told he will have to wait until that falls off of itself. This he had yet to carry with him. Why? Because he was not justified. That came later. That came at the time that he comes unto that cross of Christ. And we read that that burden that fell off of his back and it rolled down into that sepulcher, and he has never seen that again. Thus, there is a difference between the revelation of Christ and the application. But then the Word of God that also speaks about the Spirit of the Lord that is instructing that people, that Spirit by which we read that they cry, Abba, Father. Thus Paul, he says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And now it is that witness bearing, that witness bearing of the Spirit by which the people of the Lord are given not only to know what the mind know, but they may know in their experience the existence of that Holy Spirit. Why? Because they experience the necessity of that Spirit for the exercises of faith. But that exercise is so often missing. And they experience that they cannot bring that forth out of their own heart. Oh, how helpless are that people. But then it is in the coming and the going of that Spirit who is as the blowing of the wind, coming and going as he listeth, that people of the Lord do experience something of the existence of that third person in that divine Trinity. Congregation, we are baptized. That name that is upon our foreheads, on the foreheads of young and old, but is that name of that triune God, is that name also within our hearts? Or I have heard of a simple boy who has cried out about that Trinity. He said, three in one, and one in three, and all for me, all for me. Would that not be a wonder if we could say that with that boy? Three in one and one in three and all for me. Because if they are not for us, then those three, they are against us. Because what do we read of God the Father? That he is angry with the wicked every day. And that he will whet his sword and that he has drawn his bow. And that he has made ready his arrows against them that turn not to him. And what do we read of the Son? That he will not forgive the transgressions, the trespasses of those that provoke him. And what do we read of the Holy Spirit? That he is turned to be the enemy of those that vex him, O congregation. That name of that triune God, that would not burn in our forehead forever and forever. But that may be to the rejoicing of a poor and a wretched sinner. That may be delivered by that Son of God. Who may be conquered, who may be subdued, who may be cleansed by that Spirit of God, and who may be reconciled and who may be reunited unto the Father forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in thy truth. We know it so well, but we do not know it at all. We need to be taught it from above. We need to experience who that thou art. Oh, that the first steps may be known, and that we may cry out to thee, therefore, that we would not go away from this place in this day harder than we have come in. For it will either be to the hardening or to the softening. It will either be to the welfare, or it will be to the eternal woe of body and of soul together. Oh, bless thy word, and have mercy upon us and our children. Cause us to meditate therein day and night. Help us this week, each one in our place in this world. Those places are known to thee, and all the motives that live within our hearts. Take away what is sin, what is sinful before thee, and give us to walk according to all thy statutes, and bless us with heavenly and spiritual blessings, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, stanza 4. The hosts of heaven, O God, acclaim thee, Lord, alone, and greatly fear thy name above all around thy throne. And what follows in the fourth stanza of Psalter 422. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.